Welcome to another episode of the American Academy of Psychiatry and the Law Landmark Cases in Forensic Psychiatry podcast. Today's question is, does the Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination apply to proceedings under the Illinois Sexually Dangerous Persons Act? Let's explore the landmark case from 1986 of Allen versus Illinois to find the answer. The case begins with Terry Allen, who was charged in Illinois with unlawful restraint and deviant sexual assault. In addition to filing criminal charges, the state petitioned to have Allen declared a sexually dangerous person under the Illinois Sexually Dangerous Persons Act. This determination required proving that he had a mental disorder lasting more than 1 year and a propensity to commit sexual assaults. As mandated by the Act, the court ordered Mr. Allen to undergo psychiatric examinations. During his bench trial, the state introduced the testimony from the psychiatrist as well as from the victim of the alleged sexual assault. He was deemed a sexually dangerous person and subsequently appealed, claiming that his privilege against self-incrimination under the Fifth Amendment had been violated because the psychiatrist's opinions relied on information he provided during compulsory interviews. The Appellate Court of Illinois for the Third District sided with Mr. Allen, while the Supreme Court of Illinois upheld the determination. The Illinois Appellate Court held that the trial court had improperly relied on testimony that violated his Fifth Amendment rights. However, the Illinois Supreme Court reversed this ruling, concluding that the Fifth Amendment privilege was inapplicable because proceedings under the Act were essentially civil in nature. The U.S. Supreme Court affirmed the Illinois Supreme Court's ruling in a 5-4 decision. Writing for the majority, Justice William Rehnquist outlined several key points. First, the Act is civil rather than criminal. Its purpose is treatment and rehabilitation, not punishment. Although the Act applies only to individuals already charged with criminal offenses, this does not change a civil proceeding into a criminal one. Second, while the Act includes rights such as counsel, a jury trial, cross-examination, and a requirement for proof beyond a reasonable doubt, these protections alone do not change the nature of the proceedings to that of criminal cases. And third, individuals committed under the Act could be released upon demonstrating they were no longer dangerous. The court clarified that the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause does not require extending the Fifth Amendment's privilege against self-incrimination to proceedings under the Act. Justice Rehnquist noted that the privilege is not intended to enhance the accuracy of fact-finding, but serves broader constitutional purposes. Justice John Paul Stevens dissented, arguing that the proceedings resemble criminal trials in every meaningful way. He expressed concern that labeling such cases as civil created a loophole for states to bypass constitutional protections, undermining individual rights for administrative convenience. This decision highlights the nuanced interplay between civil and criminal law, particularly in cases involving mental health and public safety. While it affirmed the state's ability to craft civil commitment statutes, it also raised questions about the balance between constitutional protections and public safety goals. That's all for today's episode on Allen versus Illinois. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Apple Podcast. Join us next time for another landmark case. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.